help us to commence this morning with part of hymn 378. We'll commence at verse 3. A beggar poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. Thou knowest my need is great indeed. Lord, hear me when I cry. With guilt beset and deep in debt, for pardon, Lord, I pray. O let thy love sufficient prove to take my sins away. 378, commencing at verse 3.
Thank you. Our reading from the Word of God is taken from the 25th chapter of the Gospel recorded by Matthew. The Gospel recorded by Matthew, chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise he that had received 2, he also gained the other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents." 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Beside, I have gained 2 other talents. But behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Though there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in? or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. O thou great, almighty, and holy Lord God, of heaven and of earth, we pray that what we have just read may solemnize and sanctify our hearts and the worship of thy great and holy name here this day. For, Lord, we have just read of an occasion and an event where we will all be present. And what if our names should be left out? When thou shalt come, thy ransomed people to call home. We pray, Lord, that thy Spirit may work in each of our hearts to cause that exercise and that searching and that longing and that asking for that preparation for that tremendous day, that we may be found ready in that moment. Prepare us, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. We come, gracious God, to worship thee. We ask that we may have large views of thee. We ask, Lord, that we may be enabled to bring forth the honor, the glory, the dignity, the power that is due to thy holy name. Help us, Lord, to worship thee in love and in reverence. May, Lord, by faith this day we see Jesus and know that he sees us and smiles upon us. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst meet each case before thee. The varied concerns and needs. And that thou wouldst so bless thy word that each soul is fed this day by thy hand and receives help in their daily pathway to continue in life's journey. And may each be found in the right way, the narrow way to heaven. We pray, Lord, that thou would speak to our hearts today. That thou would give us ears to hear and hearts to understand and receive thy word. Be not silent and be not absent, but do draw near, we pray, this day, and grant us to know thy richest blessing and thy divine favour, thy holy love and the sacred peace. And we pray, Lord, for all the assemblies of thy saints this day, wherever they are in the world. We ask thee, Lord, to watch over each congregation, to fill each of thy servants with the glorious gospel of God, and to fill the hearers with that same glory. And may this be a day, Lord, when thou dost visit thy garden and bring that north and that south wind to blow. We ask thy blessing upon this church and people. We affectionately commend them to thee. Follow with thy blessing the ordinance of thy house on the past day. And we pray, Lord, that what was attended to then may yet bring forth more fruit. We pray for our sister that thou wouldst grant to her that answer of a good conscience, and that thou wouldst grant her to know thy richest blessing and favour, that thou wouldst go before her in life's journey, and may she have thy presence and thy help with her. And may it be evident, Lord, that she walks with God. And bless her husband and family also. And we pray, Lord, that as thou hast kindly begun to add to this church, could it please thee, Lord, to continue, and to bring in others, constrained by thy love, to tell of their Saviour. And may there be, Lord, a year of jubilee here, a year of ingathering, a year of strengthening, a year of blessing. We pray, Lord, for the deacons of this cause, that thou wouldst help them in the office that thou hast called them to. And grant them all needed wisdom and grace and help and strength. And do bless each member of this church. May they be united together in love and union and in the fear of the Lord, walking in humility and grace together. May they grow in grace and in knowledge of thee. Lord, we pray for each member of this congregation. We ask thee, Lord, to visit each with thy great salvation. Remember those in the evening time of life. Sanctify that pathway to them. And may it ever be their concern to be made ready for heaven. Bless those in the midst of life, and may that path also be sanctified. And may the troubles and the joys of life draw them near the Lord, not further away from him. And may each of them be brought to cry to thee for help, and may they see answers to prayer. And then, Lord, remember those in the morning of life's journey, at the beginning. Could it please thee, Lord, to grant that they may begin that journey with thee, and that they might be privileged all their life long to journey in thy company. And may the generation that is raised up be abundantly blessed in the services of thy house and in thy church, here and elsewhere. So, Lord, we ask for prosperity. And we thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst continue. For we believe that there is yet room in thy house, thy Father's house, for thy little ones. And Lord, we believe there's yet room in this church for thy little ones too. We pray, Lord, for our nation and ask that thou wouldst turn us back to thee. Call by grace our rulers and those in authority. And may we live to see better days in this land, when thy laws that have been trodden down are restored to their rightful place. We ask thee, Lord, to send forth thy spirit of conviction in this nation, and grant days of revival that we have never seen, though we've read of long ago. And Lord, we pray that that conviction may begin in the house of God, that there may be that prayer, that wrestling prayer for ourselves and others, and for the building up of thy church. We thank thee, Lord, for all thy mercies and kindnesses to us each, the mercies of providence, but we thank thee more for the mercy of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. We pray this day that we might be led to that fountain, and that we may prove that there is still power in that blood to take away all sin. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 1035. Return my wandering heart to thy dear resting place. Nothing in nature nor in art so fair as Jesus' face. 1035.
seeking the Lord's help, I venture this morning to ask your attention to the 25th chapter of the Gospel recorded by Matthew and the 10th verse. Matthew chapter 25, verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. We have in this chapter our Lord concluding his public ministry. The close of this chapter, we then read of his sufferings and death, and we read no more of him teaching the disciples or the people in parables. Of course, he spoke privately in the upper room. That night he suffered. But it would appear that this chapter is how our Lord closed his public ministry. And he closed his ministry looking toward the end of the world. Reminding his hearers that this world will not last forever, and that there is a judgment day and judgment seat to come, which we all, without exception, must face. And he begins this chapter with this parable. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now we need to understand something of the culture of that time. When a wedding took place in the land of Israel in our Lord's day and generation, it was the custom of the bridegroom's friends in the evening to wait along the route from the bridegroom's house to the bride's. And when night fell, at the appointed time, the bridegroom would come. And he would meet his friends. And they would surround him and take him and conduct him to the house of the bride, where the bride was waiting, and then the marriage would take place. And so everyone who heard our Lord knew what he was talking about in these verses. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They were waiting for him. but he tarried. First they began to slumber, and then they slept. They were no longer watchful, no longer waiting, until that cry awoke them from sleep. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And they all arose, and they all expected to be admitted to that marriage. But there was a solemn difference. There was an eternal difference. Five of these virgins, when they most needed their lamps to shine brightly, found that they were going out, and they were going out eternally. This oil represents the work of God's grace. And these virgins represent the outward church of God. He's not speaking here about the atheist, the profane man who never comes to the script, to the house of God to hear the scriptures read and preached. These 10 virgins represent the visible church of God. They represent us. Which side of the dividing line are you this morning? You can't be both. You're either wise unto salvation, or you're foolish. As you were born, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. This teaches us two things. First of all, grace can never be shared. The wise could not share their oil with the foolish. And real religion is personal. It is made up of the dealings between God Almighty and your soul. Have you got any dealings? Has God spoken to you? Or are you a stranger to him? You hear the way to heaven. You know in your heart, in your head, the way of salvation. And it has no effect on you whatsoever. You go out of the house of God and you don't think about it from one service to the next. You can't share the oil of grace. Even though your parents or your grandparents or your husband or your wife or even your children may be possessors of grace, it won't save you or me. We need personally, individually, for God the Holy Spirit to give us that grace, which is the preparation. That's what made these wise virgins ready. Even though they did slumber and sleep, they were sinners yet. But they were not unprepared when that shout came, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Now, the second point of this parable is this. There will come a time when sinners will cry in vain to God for mercy. The door was shut. Death shuts that door for each and every one of us. The day of judgment will shut that door for that generation that will be alive and remain when the Lord returns, as he surely will. And when that door shuts, it will be an eternal shutting. And when it shuts, it will be said, "He that is just, let him be just. But he that is unjust, let him be unjust still." If you are found on the wrong side of that door, shut out, even though you will desire then to know the oil of God's grace and the mercy of God, in the favor of God, it will be too late. You'll be shut out of God's mercy, shut out from the presence of the Savior, shut out from his blessing and divine favor, left instead to the company of the devil and his angels and those who served him upon earth. It is quite clear from this parable, it is not enough just to come to the house of God. It's got to be something more. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were not ready. The bridegroom tarried long into the evening, until the midnight hour. They'd been waiting many hours. But he did come. And you may think that God has tarried long, and the world continues, and that you have nothing to worry about. But God will come, though he tarries. He won't tarry forever. And where will you be when he comes? And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They went to buy, but it was too late. Behold, now is the appointed time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to ask for mercy. Now is the time to seek for that pardon in Jesus. Are we seekers? Or are we slothful? Like that one with that one talent in the next parable. Sloth will never get you to heaven. Presumption and fatalism will never get you to heaven. God himself has said in his Son, "Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you." Have you ever asked God for that mercy? Have you ever sought for that salvation? Have you ever knocked at that door of prayer? If you're made wise unto salvation, That's where you'll be brought. A life of prayer. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. The bridegroom is Christ. That friend you've just been singing of in that second hymn. That one who to some of you here is the one you love the greatest. Who is the sweetest name to you? Who is the standard bearer who stands out the chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely one? The bridegroom. And if you are to be made ready, you will be brought to know him. This heavenly bridegroom. There were no strangers to Jesus Christ in heaven. And this is what this word, the marriage here, signifies. It's heaven. And they that were ready went in with him. Here's union. Here's communion. His fellowship, his nearness. Believer, not only are you going to be in heaven, but you're going to be with him. That's the point. And it's Jesus that makes heaven what heaven is. The bride eyes, not her garment. But her dear bridegroom's face, I will not gaze on glory, but on my King of grace, not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. O Christ, he is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love, those streams on earth. We've tasted more deep, we'll drink above. There to an ocean's fullness, God's mercy doth expand. And glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Believer, here is one of the glorious truths. That when you come down to die, made ready, you will have nothing to fear. Because the bridegroom himself is going to come. And you're going to go through that door with him leading you. As he's led you every step of the pilgrim journey. The sheep of Christ never take a single step in the journey of faith alone. The shepherd always goes before them, and therefore his presence is with them, even though you don't always discern it. But his presence will be never more near his sheep than in that hour and article of death. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And in that day, and in that hour, and when that door is shut and you're shut in with Jesus, shut in to his near presence, you'll never part with him again. No more will you know those days when he withdraws his presence from you. No longer will you know what it is to be at a distance. No longer will you know a hard heart or a divided heart. Then you shall know his near presence. Then you'll know what it is to be as near him as it is possible for a sinner saved by grace to be near to him. Why should we shrink at pain or woe, or fear at death's dismay? We've Canaan's goodly land in view and realms of endless day. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Child of God, when that door is shut, Satan will be shut out of that door. He will no longer be able to harass you. He'll no longer be able to annoy you, to tempt you, to distract you, to cast you down, to tempt you to sin and then accuse you afterwards. When you go through this door, it will be the final parting from Satan. When you go through this door, it will be the final parting with your old nature, that sinful nature, that polluted nature which has caused you so much grief and trouble and trial and difficulty. It will be gone forever. You'll never be reunited with it. Then with a pure heart, with a perfect heart and with an undivided heart, you'll worship and you'll adore your holy, precious bridegroom, Jesus Christ. When that door is shut, the wicked will be shut out. They can no longer trouble you. All pain and suffering and tears will be shut out. And you'll be shut in with your God, to enjoy his company, to receive his welcome, to know his smile, to enjoy his love to the fullest capacity that is possible, and that is far, far beyond than now we can even think or conceive. The happiness of the believer after death far exceeds even his greatest moment of happiness here upon earth. Here you but taste of the Saviour's love. But there you will drink with all its fullness. Shut in with Christ. Shut in with the Father, who loved you and gave you to his Son. Shut in with the Son of God, who redeemed you, who blessed you, who had mercy upon you, who came to this sin-cursed earth and saved you by his grace, who shed his precious holy blood for you, who wove a garment for you to wear in heaven's glory. Shut in with the blessed Holy Ghost, who gives you this oil of grace, who taught you to know yourself as a sinner, taught you to know you your need of mercy, taught you what it was to be lost, taught you the merits and the preciousness and the suitability of Jesus Christ. shut in with a triune God, there to worship around that throne, there to crown him Lord of all forevermore. Shut in, enjoying the presence and company of the holy angels of God, as they are referred to in this chapter, and the company of the spirits of just men made perfect. It will be a united worship around that throne of God in heaven. The door was shut. But what if you are the wrong side of this door when it is shut? You will then be shut out and excluded from Christ's presence. You didn't mind that upon earth. You will mind it in eternity. Shut out from all hope, from all joy, from all happiness. Shut out from the only source of forgiveness and pardon. Shut out of any hope of that door ever opening again. If you and I had to go through that door of death this morning, would we be shut in or shut out of heaven? Shut in with Jesus or shut out with the devil. It's going to be one or the other. Would we be like Noah, who we are told that the Lord shut him in? And there was safety. And there was comfort. And there was God's presence in that ark? Or would we be shut out with the rest of them? With no refuge, no shelter, no defense from the storm of God's wrath. How stands the case with you and with me? We're to be shut in, then we must be ready when that moment comes. And if you're ready, you'll know something that takes place before that day. The Lord Jesus referred to it, "Ye must be born again." And if you're born again by God, the Holy Ghost, you'll see things differently from how you saw them before that event took place. Here a little, there a little. You'll begin to seek those things you never sought for before. You'll turn your back on those things that once you sought. You'll be brought to know something of your own sin and unworthiness, and of your own need for pardon and forgiveness. Those who are ready and wise unto salvation are taught that they cannot save themselves, with deeds of righteousness of their own. Those who are ready are brought to see that Jesus Christ is their only source of comfort and help and deliverance in this great matter of salvation. If you're ready, you will be brought to love the name of Jesus. You will be brought to need the name of Jesus. You'll be brought to plead the name of Jesus in prayer. No longer we use traditionally end your prayer for Jesus' sake. But your whole prayer will hang on those words. Because you know that God will not receive you for your own sake. It must be for Jesus' sake. So step by step he'll teach you the worth of that name, the suitability of the name, and the power of that name of Jesus. That name which means Saviour. If you're being made ready, here below, to praise him above, then you must be brought to know him. And that's what real faith is. It doesn't just bring you to know about him. It brings you to know him for yourself. It brings you to hear his voice. To recognize that voice. That voice of power. That voice of love. It brings you to trust that voice. And to know that that one who speaks has your best interest at heart. That he cannot make a mistake. That he cannot be unkind or unjust or unfair. Bring you for love to that name. When his will and your will disagree, because you're still a sinner, but to be brought to submit to his will, knowing that his will is better than your own will. You are being made ready here below. You'll be brought to value prayer. And the greater your faith, the greater you'll be in prayer. Because the more you'll see your need of the help of God Almighty in Jesus Christ. The greater your faith in him, the more you'll see your helplessness in yourself. That you cannot save yourself. And also that you cannot keep yourself in the journey either. And you'll realize that by nature, you cannot take one step on your own in the way to heaven. So you'll be made dependent. And feeling that dependence, the fruit of that will be you will live a life of prayer. Wrestling prayer, longing prayer, asking God to help. You know what it is to confess your sin. To confess your hard heart, to confess your waywardness, to confess your carnality, to confess your unbelief. To confess your pride. It's a life of confession, not just at the beginning. To know what the hymn writer said, daily I'd repent of sin. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. door was shut. If you're being made ready, you'll know what it is to eat the food that the sheep eat. Christ Jesus is that bread and that water of life. And it is upon him that we feed. His death, that sin atoning death, as he died in the sinner's place. His holy, righteous, sinless life. His words of grace and love and truth. His blessed holy example, which he has given us to follow. How big is your Bible? What I mean is this. How much of this word of God has God spoken to you personally? And you fed upon it. You're being made ready for this day, for this marriage. You'll know what it is to have some parts of the word of God made many very, very precious to you. Why? Because the bridegroom has spoken them to you. And they are tokens of his love for you. Words like this, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Words like this, come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That is a word of God's love, to come, not go, come. Come into my presence, and I will receive you. I will receive you as a son and as a daughter. But you've got to come out from the world and its pursuits and its lusts and its pleasures. It's not your home. Have as little to do with that world as you can. Words like this. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath the everlasting arms. You can't fall out of those arms when they're underneath you. Words like this, I've chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Affliction will come, trouble will come of one sort or the other. You can't avoid it. But to know you're chosen in it. Will make all the difference. Because in effect, he's saying to you, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Even though he may take his way in the darkest storm. Even though it might be his will that you go in a furnace which is heated 7 times hotter than normal. But yet he will not call you to go through that way alone. He'll go there with you. And in the midst of that trial, he'll say to you, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He doesn't call you to watch alone. He doesn't even call you to watch for 2 hours. And he watched 33 years for you. And that will bring you to that point, fellowship with Christ in his sufferings. Not just an observer, but a partaker. To know what it is to suffer for Christ's sake. And how are you going to endure? Because it will be suffering, and that means it will be hard for the flesh. And it's meant to be hard for the flesh. It's not meant to be easy. It is meant to try you. It is meant to test you. It is meant to shake you. So how are you going to endure? by keeping your eyes fixed on him and on what he endured for you. To keep our eyes on Jesus fixed, and there our hopes to stay, his goodness he will make to pass before us in the way. Words like this, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. An everlasting love, it means forever. It means this moment when you feel so hard and dead and cold. His love for you isn't hard and dead and cold this morning. His love hasn't changed. It's yours. But your hope for heaven doesn't depend on your love for Jesus. It depends upon his love for you. And that is unchanging. That is unchangeable. Not only it doesn't change, it cannot change. And it will not change. Whom once he loves, he never leaves. He loves them to the end without variation. Words like this, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. If the Lord is chastening you, if the Lord is disciplining you, you have an evidence that you are a son and a daughter. Because he doesn't chasten and discipline the world. He leaves them. And that's the difference between the sorrows of the wicked and the sorrows of the righteous. We are told that the sorrow of the world worketh death. They have their sorrows, but they don't hear the voice of God in them. They don't come in repentance and brokenheartedness and humility to his feet. It either drives them further away from God, or they ignore it. But if you are a child of God, you won't be able to ignore it. And you'll keep in that furnace until the Lord brings you to this point. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Until he brings you down to acknowledge where you've gone wrong. To seek and desire to be brought back. To seek to live in the presence of your shepherd and not be a wandering sheep. If you can trace in your own experience some of these evidences, then you have a good hope that God in his mercy through his Holy Spirit is teaching you and making you wise unto salvation. And therefore when the bridegroom comes, you'll be ready. You won't be left behind. You won't be shut out. You won't be forgotten. You who he has said, come by his Holy Spirit here below, and you've come as a poor, wretched sinner to him with nothing and received everything. One day, he'll say, come home. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? It will be your privilege to go with him to the marriage supper of the Lamb, to sing that song unto him who hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, be glory. But if you can't trace those evidences, ask God by his Holy Spirit to come into your heart, to give you that new nature, to make you ready, to give you this oil of grace. Because if you have no oil, you'll have no heaven.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £685, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Tomorrow, Mr. Pickett is expected to preach at our anniversary services at 3 o'clock and 6:15, and the collection will be for the Needy Cases Fund. Next Lord's Day, Mr. Stephen Hyde is expected to preach and hopes to address the Sunday School. And our friends at Fenstatton hold their Ascension Day service on Thursday evening at 7:15. And there will be a Free Grace Evangelistic Association meeting at the school next Saturday at 2:30. Let us close with hymn 399. Amidst 10,000 anxious cares, the world and Satan's deep-laid snares, this my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. 399.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost abide with us. Amen.